This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzler, joined by my good colleague, Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. He, among others, keeps the Long Word Journal. And filing on the Long Word Journal, Caleb Weiss of the FDD, as well as the Bridgeway Foundation, traveling in Africa, to help us with a story that he's posted right now. You can read it about a suicide bombing attempt in Uganda on Uganda's Martyrs' Day, which is, Caleb fills me in on the details here, when 45 Christian martyrs were murdered in the late 19th century by traditional authorities because the martyrs, following through on 2,000 years of Christian martyrdom, refused to renounce Christianity. But here we are in the 21st century, and Caleb, a very good day to you. The attempt by the Islamic State Central African Province against Uganda. What was the goal here? To murder as many as possible? How would that have helped ISIS? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thank you for having me again. Yeah, that seems to be the goal. As you noted, the target was Uganda's Martyr Day, which is a big day for Uganda's Christian community, which is the majority of Uganda. This is a large public holiday where, you know, worshipers were gathered at two shrines around Kampala for these martyrs. So the Islamic State essentially wanted to detonate a suicide bombing inside one of these celebrations and kill as many as possible. Luckily, the female suicide bomber, it was a woman. She detonated before reaching her target, killing only her and her driver, which her driver was also part of the Islamic State. So the only two casualties as part of this attack were Islamic State members themselves, which I think is, you know, a good thing that it was just those two who died and not, you know, potentially dozens, if not hundreds of, you know, Christian worshipers.
You have a photograph accompanying your story at FDD. I recommend to everybody to look at it because it reveals how ordinary a day can be before it turns to mass murder. There is a mini taxi about to turn on what looks to be a major roadway. And there is right behind it a what looks like a dirt bike with a driver. And you identify the female bomber as all in black sitting behind him. Am I looking at the right thing, Caleb?
Yes, you're looking at the right thing. The female bomber is on the motorcycle, which in East Africa, those are called boda bodas or motorcycle taxis. She's sitting on the back of that. And essentially what the photo is right before that motorcycle turns left to head towards the shrine. But she detonates as soon as they turn left. It's unclear why she detonated prematurely, either through malfunction or she saw security and sort of got spooked and decided to detonate there. Either way, she detonated there, and that's where it ended for her. I think it's important to note that she was someone who was already familiar to Ugandan security and intelligence. She had been previously arrested in 2021 for helping the Islamic State move funds that helped pay for a series of bombings across Uganda that year. So this was already someone that was known to the system. She was released and unfortunately found her way back to the Islamic State.
Bill, you have a question for Caleb.
Yes, Caleb, thanks for joining us. The Pakistani Taliban was renowned in the early or late 2000s and mid 2010s for recruiting and creating camps for female suicide bombers. I noticed that the last two attempted attacks in Uganda were carried out by females. Is there a thought that the Islamic State has taken a page out of the Pakistani Taliban's playbook and is trying to indoctrinate, train female suicide bombers? And if so, what is the reasoning for this?
So just one point of correction. There was this one, and then the Islamic State actually did use a woman in a successful suicide bombing in Goma. That's the essentially the eastern capital of Congo. They did that in 2022. But, you know, the use of females for suicide bombings, you know, as you mentioned, the Pakistani Taliban, what's known as Boko Haram was also famous for doing that in Africa in the early 2010s. But I think this goes back with the Islamic State in general of they've always been, you know, accepting of women in sort of their ranks. But the key difference is they don't really highlight the women. So, you know, there's instances or sort of reports of, you know, women combatants in Syria and Iraq. I don't know if any of those were actually proven. But again, it's really hard to prove because they don't actually comment on attacks or female units officially. So going back to this Goma bombing in 2022, it was the Islamic State. They just didn't claim it. So in a way, I guess they are sort of, you know, taking a page from the Pakistani Taliban, but I don't think they're thinking of it like that. It's they've always been open to women within their ranks. It's just not something that was sort of officially highlighted like the Pakistani Taliban might have done back in the day, or even Boko Haram, which another point on Boko Haram, Ram's use of women and suicide bombings is that got them kicked out of the Islamic State of the former leader of Boko Haram, Abu Bakr Shekau, was infamously proud of using women and children as suicide bombers. And even that was too crazy for the Islamic State.
Caleb, can we identify the center of power of ISIS in Uganda or in the region? Is this just random, or is there one place we should look to for their camps and their training and their orders?
So this isn't really random. The Islamic State's Central Africa Province, or ISCAP, is based in eastern Congo. It has a variety of disparate camps across the jungles in eastern Congo, but they're all loyal to a central leadership. But the central leadership of ISCAP is Ugandan. This is a group born from Uganda in the late 90s that was forced into Congo after a brief insurgency in Uganda. And since then, they've always held, you know, deep hatred towards Uganda and its president, Yoweri Museveni. So since they joined the Islamic State in 2017, yes, they're fighting for a global caliphate. They subscribe to the Islamic State idea of the caliphate. Their leaders are the Islamic State leaders, but they have never lost hatred of Uganda. So they're always attempting to try to attack in Uganda. This was the first successful attack in Uganda since 2023. But in 2023, they were doing other bombings. They did even cross-border raids into Uganda from Congo. So it's not really random that they would do this. It just so happens to be one that was successful in the last 2 years.
And you say in Congo, is that a problem for the Congo government? I mean, you know, if they're attacking Uganda...
It is a huge problem for the Congo government, and not just the Congo government, the Congolese civilians. The vast majority of its victims are Congolese civilians. And Congo, that's a Democratic Republic of, you know, 95% of the population is Christian. This sort of puts ISCAP in a unique situation where they're a jihadist group, part of the Islamic State, operating in a primarily Christian area. For the Islamic State, you know, if Christians refuse to convert or they refuse to pay the jizya, the tax on non-Muslims, they are to be killed. So ISCAP has killed thousands in the last 8 years simply for being Christian.
Bill, you have a question for Caleb.
Yeah, Caleb, this is certainly a Central Africa is a chaotic region. Who is primarily leading the fight against the Islamic State? Is that Uganda? Do they have a key ally to help them?
Yeah, I think this is an important point to bring up, Bill, is that it is Uganda and Congo. So Uganda and Congo have a joint military operation against ISCAP called Operation Shuja. where both of them are involved, deeply involved in fighting ISCAP on the ground in the jungles. So this is also part of the reason why they want to target Uganda. You know, they're part of the so-called global crusader alliance against the Islamic State, which is headed by the United States. So they put Uganda within this global context of they're part of the Great Satan's, you know, mission against Muslims. Therefore, they're the crusaders and we should target them. So that's also an important point in addition to the historical grievances against Uganda. But in terms of this specific Islamic State branch, yeah, it's Congo and Uganda. But because of this is an Islamic State group and it has deep connections to other countries around East and Central Africa, you do see other East and Central African states, you know, participating in the fight against them to some degrees. You know, Rwanda, Tanzania, Kenya, a little bit of Mozambique. You know, they do some intel operations against them. They may go after them financially. But the bulk of the military fighting is Uganda and Congo.
Is there any linkage to the U.S. war against jihadists in Africa, or is this a Uganda standalone?
Ideologically, there's a link. Again, the ISCAP puts itself within the same fight as the Islamic State, so yeah, it considers itself part of that fight in defense of Islam against the Crusader Alliance led by the United States. But realistically, not so much. The United States is not so involved in Congo or Uganda. You know, periodically the U.S. may train Ugandan troops, but that's primarily for Uganda's mission in Somalia. Ideologically, yes. Practically, no.
We're speaking with Caleb Weiss of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy and the Bridgeway Foundation. He's traveling in Africa. Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow FTD, keeping the Long War Journal. We're going to come back to Caleb for an update on Somalia, which is the big fight. Somalia is named as one of the most likely states in Africa to move to being completely overwhelmed by the jihadists and become an Islamic state.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here. And you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free Blackstone 8-piece accessory kit when you buy a Blackstone 28-inch griddle. Plus, get two free select Craftsman V20 tools when you buy an RP brushless drill and impact driver combo kit. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.